This is the path to prosperity. This is the budget that we are putting forward today. This represents our choice for our country's future, and it's our commitment to the American people.
That was Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin just a short time ago. He's the House Budget Committee chair, and today he introduced a highly anticipated plan called, as you heard, the Path to Prosperity. Ryan claims that this budget will reduce more than $6 trillion, that's trillion with a T, in government spending in the next decade. And almost half of that comes from cuts in the growth of Medicare and Medicaid. Here is some more from Congressman Ryan.
No changes in Medicare for anybody who is 55 and above. They get the Medicare that they've organized their retirement around. But because Medicare is the biggest driver of our debt, because Medicare is going insolvent and bankrupt according to the trustees, because we want to save Medicare so it's a program that people can actually rely upon when they retire, we propose to convert it to a system for younger people that is identical to the system I have as a member of Congress and all federal workers enjoy. It's choice, it's competition, it's protection. We propose that we support people more if they're low income, more as they get sick, and wealthy seniors don't get as much support.
Congressman Paul Ryan, just moments ago. Jonathan Weissman, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, joined us from Capitol Hill to give us more of the first taste of ideas and terms we're going to be hearing a lot about in the news in the next few days and maybe forever. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
What can you tell us? Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats wanting to know what is specific in this plan about how Medicare, first of all, will change for those over 55 and for those under 55.
I think the Medicare changes that he is proposing are the big headline here, because what he's doing is saying that starting in 2022, that's basically anyone who's younger than 55 now, would no longer have access to Medicare as we know it, which is a fee-for-service plan covered by the government. You know, you go into the doctor does his thing, the doctor bills the government pays him. Instead, you would be given, this is going to sound very familiar to what Barack Obama is doing with the health care plan, you would be given a list of options on a federal exchange, a list of private insurance plans, and seniors would choose which private insurance plan they like, and those plans would cover you. But the government would only reimburse those plans according to the consumer price index, that is general inflation. And healthcare inflation has been going considerably faster than the consumer price index. So this will squeeze the insurance companies. Critics would say that the insurance companies will then, of course, pass on the extra costs to the senior consumer through higher deductibles, through higher premiums. Of course, what Ryan would like to say is that by competing through competition, the different private plans would be able to wring out savings without having to pass them on to the consumers. That's the big if. But under the Ryan plan, Medicare, as we know it, would cease to exist.
Why think that the private sector will be more efficient than Medicare itself? The Democrats have been saying for years that Medicare has less overhead than these private insurance companies.
Well, that's the counter-argument. I mean, Paul Ryan would say, I'll take his side here, and he will say that the Medicare prescription drug benefit that was passed under the Bush administration set up a similar plan. It was never a government, you know, government just reimbursing people, individuals, for their prescription drugs. Instead, people had to choose a private prescription drug plan, and that plan is coming under projected spending. It is cheaper than the Congressional Budget Office thought it was going to be. Ryan says that's because of competition that has wrung out these inefficiencies. A lot of seniors and certainly senior groups would say that's because more and more costs are being passed on to seniors, and prescription drug costs for the individual senior citizen is going up.
So, in effect, he would transform Medicare into a kind of voucher system where every senior citizen was eligible for X dollars of credit on the private market to buy a health insurance plan, and then that amount would go to the insurance company, and the consumer would be on the hook for the rest, depending on the kind of plan that he or she chose?
Well, the word voucher is going to be one that you're going to hear a lot of. The Democrats are going to say this is a voucher system. The Republicans are going to say it's not a voucher system. It's a premium support system. Now, to the Republicans' credit, this is not a situation where a senior gets a check in the mail and that senior, he or she, has to go out with that check and go find an insurance plan. It's not that kind of voucher. The payment from the government never goes to the senior. The payment goes to the plan that is offering the senior citizens coverage. Now, remember, the reason that Medicare was started was because private insurers didn't want to insure senior citizens. It was just too expensive, and it just wasn't feasible to do it that way. That's why we have a government plan. Mm-hmm. So whether this can work or not, it's a real open question. It's not what the Simpson-Bowles Commission, the President's Debt Commission, had proposed. What they had proposed was that there would be these private insurance plans in Medicare that could compete with the fee-for-service plan, but that they never proposed actually doing away with fee-for-service.
Aha!
Like this.
So what we get to, similarly to the Obama healthcare debate, is the question of retaining Medicare as a public option. And so,
exactly.
Again, the Republicans don't want there to be even a public option for senior citizens.
This is the great irony of this debate. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. What Paul Ryan is really doing is creating the same health care system that President Obama's health care legislation created for the uninsured. Under the president's law, the people with no insurance would go on to a federal exchange and pick from a menu of private plans, and those private plans would be reimbursed by the federal government through higher taxes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans seem to hate this idea, but they are now proposing pretty much the same thing for senior citizens. The Democratic line of attack will be, look, we didn't particularly like this. We wanted some kind of public option. We didn't get that. But look, this is giving people with no insurance an option to buy private insurance.
Right.
Whereas what Paul Ryan is saying is we're going to give people who have a well-established government insurance plan called Medicare a menu of private options,
right,
but we're going to take away the government option.
So how far does this parallel run? Would there be an individual mandate so that every senior citizen had to buy into Medicare in some way or another through these exchanges? Could a younger worker get a family plan that included coverage of their elderly parent so that they didn't have to go out and have a separate expense, the parent, on the Medicare market? Does this make any sense?
Well, these are all good questions. And remember, you have to understand, this is a budget. A budget is a bare-bones document that just kind of lays out a vision. It would be if the House passes this budget, what it will do is tell the Ways and Means Committee to go and actually devise the legislation, mm-hmm, that would make this outline,
right,
a reality.
Then we'll get a 2,000-page Medicare reform bill.
Exactly.
Can I ask you, because we're going to run out of time soon, is there means testing in this Medicare proposal?
Yes, there is means testing. The reimbursement rates would be higher for poorer seniors than for richer seniors. It is definitely means tested. And remember, this budget is block grants Medicaid. Medicaid would no longer be an entitlement program for the poor. It would be a block grant to the states to do what they want to do with it to cover the poor. It block grants food stamps. Food stamps would no longer have a lot of prescriptions from the federal government. It would just be money handed out to the states. And it also takes all of the job training programs that the federal government has and turns that into basically a voucher, which they're calling a retraining scholarship. This is a very, very, you know, very dramatic change to the way we see the federal government operating today.
Would this really balance the federal budget and eliminate our federal debt?
Well, look, it probably would, because if you're taking all of these programs and turning into block grants, then the programs themselves are not operating under need. It's not like, I mean, today, when there are more people who are hungry, the number of food stamps go up. When there are more people who are seeking federal job training assistance, there's more money for federal job training assistance. If you turn it into a block grant, then the money becomes just a chunk of money that is increasing or staying the same, however Congress wants.
Therefore,
putting
incredible pressures on the states to expand the entitlement at the state level when there are recessions, for example.
I think that a lot of governors will look at this and say exactly that this is going to kill the state governments. Now, look.
How about Republican governor? What will Chris Christie say?
Well, we're going to call and find out right now. I mean, now some governors might say, "Great, we don't have to cover the poor. We don't want to cover the poor."
They won't say that
with
out loud.
Insurance that we had, they won't say it out loud. You're probably right, but they would have options because Paul Ryan would basically cut the strings attached.
So we have a minute left. Everybody's giving Ryan, rightly I think, credit for courage, for coming out and touching these rails when both parties have been too afraid to for a long, long time, even though the long-term deficit problem is real, according to everybody. What will the Democratic response be?
Well, you know, I actually think that the Ryan budget might actually hurt the cause for a broad, big bipartisan deal on deficit reduction, because remember the President's Commission on Debt Reduction had a basic fundamental deal that the Democrats were going to accept changes to entitlement programs that they couldn't stand, that hurt them to accept, but Republicans were going to accept changes to the tax code that they couldn't accept.
Right, so there's there's no tax increase for the wealthy, but they go after Democratic constituents here.
Exactly. So now Democrats, a lot of Democrats who are looking at trying to win back the House or win back or stave off defeat in the Senate are going to look at this document and say, look, we don't want to get a big, broad budget deal because that
Jonathan,
would kind of vitiate this.
We have to leave it there. Jonathan Weisman from The Wall Street Journal, thanks so much for filling us in on the first blush impressions of the Ryan plan. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Much more throughout the day. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.